A t-shirt and jeans, mac and cheese. Some things in life are an obvious match, like RIAs and Schwab Advisor Services, the number one choice for independent advisors. The difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Learn why at schwabvious.com.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
There are cases that disturb you, cases that frustrate you, cases that haunt you, and then there are cases that make you stop, take a breath, and say, what in the actual hell happened here? The story of 15-year-old Celeste Rivas Hernandez has officially crossed into that last category, because the newest reporting attributed to law enforcement sources speaking to multiple major outlets is nothing short of shocking, and it forces us to reevaluate not just the final days of a child, but the final months leading up to her discovery, the people she crossed paths with, the chilling possibility that what happened to her wasn't one person panicking, but a multi-stage, multi-person effort to hide a crime nobody was supposed to figure out. Here's what these law enforcement sources are saying. And once again, I want to be absolutely clear. This isn't me speculating. This isn't me embellishing. These are the details reported by People Magazine, NBC4, ABC7, The Houston Chronicle, and others, all citing individuals with direct knowledge of the investigation. And those details, if they turn out to be accurate, are among the most disturbing that I've seen. According to these sources, Celeste's remains showed indications consistent with dismemberment. We're back to that again. Remember, initially it was like, she was dismembered, and then it was, well, maybe she just was decomposing longer, we're not quite sure. Well, they've changed that. The allegations are dismemberment. They also reportedly show signs consistent with partial freezing or refrigeration before being placed in the Tesla where she was eventually found. Let that land for a moment, because that right there is where everything changes. If true, this is not the behavior of someone who panicked. This is not the behavior of someone who found a tragic situation and didn't know what to do. This is not the behavior of someone who made a mistake and they made a terrible decision to cover up. This is the behavior of someone taking steps, according to investigators, interpretations, to delay decomposition, to interfere with time of death estimates, to keep a body hidden long enough for the world to move on. And according to sources inside the investigation, these forensic details are part of why investigators are now treating this case internally as a homicide investigation. Now, the LAPD has not come out and said that publicly yet. There's been no press conference, no official classification, but people quoted law enforcement insiders saying plainly, investigators consider this a homicide case behind closed doors. ABC7 has sources saying the same thing. NBC4 has sources using the word suspect when referring to the musician whose car held Celeste's remains. And the Houston Chronicle has reported investigators now believe more than one person was involved in the concealment efforts. Every one of those claims is attributed. Every one of those claims falls under, according to law enforcement sources speaking to reporters, none of them have been released by LAPD formally. But when multiple outlets begin quoting multiple insiders using the same language, you can feel the case shifting from one category of investigation into another. Not because the reported forensic indicators don't describe a quick, frantic attempt to cover something up. They describe a process, a timeline, a sequence of decisions. Freezing or refrigerating a body, if that's what happened, requires not panic, but purpose. It requires a freezer or a refrigerator capable of holding a human body. It requires a location where the appliance can be used without someone noticing. And if the remains show signs consistent with partial freezing, as law enforcement sources have told multiple outlets, it suggests the body may have been stored somewhere before being moved. This is why those same sources are now saying investigators believe Celeste may have died months earlier than originally thought, possibly as early as spring of 2025. Again, if accurate, that means everybody's been operating on the wrong timeline. It means the public was looking at the wrong window. It means while people were still thinking of summer, law enforcement insiders were looking back to April or May. And that spring timeline matters because a body stored cold doesn't decompose the same way a body left at room temperature does. Just think about it. You got some extra chicken laying around you're not going to eat, but still good because you just made it, you throw it in the freezer. Got some pork, got some beef, got some whatever, you throw it in the freezer. Thaw it out later. Same thing works for a body. It creates gaps here. It delays certain stages. It changes insect activity. It complicates the decomposition clock. And if investigators believe the body was cold for a period of time, they're not making that out of thin air. Those indicators would have been visible to the coroner. Liquids expand. We're made of water. That messes with your flesh. It messes with the way your body decomposes. It basically puts you into a state that is frozen. It also expands. Water expands. That will mess with your cellular structure in ways that if a body just sat there and began decomposing, would not. Take a strawberry, throw it in the freezer, take it out tomorrow. It's not going to be the same sort of fruit. May taste like a strawberry, may kind of look like a strawberry, but it's not the same as a fresh strawberry. One would ask, what happened to the strawberry? You wouldn't say, well, it was rotting, because it wasn't, but it has a different texture, a different feel to it. It was frozen and it thawed. That's what's happening here, allegedly. This is why sources say investigators are now reevaluating where Celeste spent her final days, who she was with in the spring, and how long her body may have been hidden before ending up in the Tesla. If the reports are correct that Tesla wasn't just a car, it may have been a transport stage in a longer concealment process. And that brings us to the question that's hanging over everything. How many people were involved? According to multiple outlets, quoting insiders, investigators believe there may have been more than one person, not because anyone has confessed, not because police have named accomplices, but because the behaviors described, cold storage, dismemberment indicators, movement of a vehicle, abandonment of a vehicle, timing and silence rarely happen alone. This isn't speculation from commentators. This isn't armchair analysis. This is reportedly the investigators' view of the case as they understand it today, based on what the forensic indicators suggest. And if they're right, if more than one person was involved, then this case is about to get much, much bigger. But nothing in this case makes sense until we follow the car. That Tesla didn't drive itself. According to private investigators hired by the landlord of the Hollywood Hills property, someone else may have been recorded driving the vehicle shortly before it was abandoned. ABC7 and others have confirmed investigators are reviewing surveillance footage. They're cross-referencing timestamps. They're trying to identify who was behind the wheel, because whoever drove the Tesla last is either a witness or part of the concealment operation described by these law enforcement insiders. And that person may not be the only one investigators are looking at, because if the remains show signs of cold storage, police are going to ask who had access to large freezers, refrigerators, garages, storage spaces. They're going to look at any home connected to people in Celeste's orbit. They're going to review utility records, electric draw patterns, freezer usage, garage access, basement temperatures, every single modern data point that can show whether someone was using cold storage equipment at odd hours or for extended periods. This is the kind of case where digital forensic becomes more valuable than physical evidence. Phones produce location histories. Cars produce location histories. Smart home devices produce temperature logs. Security systems produce timelines. Deleted messages create trails, even after they're erased. And in 2025, investigators know exactly where to look. This is why the search warrant executed at the Hollywood Hills property also matters, not because of what was in the news, not because of speculation, but because sources told multiple outlets that investigators removed electronics from the home. You don't pull devices unless you expect those devices to tell you where someone was and when they moved, who they communicated with, and what they looked up. And while all of this is happening, while investigators are gathering electronics, reviewing surveillance, analyzing decomposition, examining any possible cold storage location, and trying to identify every person who touched the Tesla, we get a completely different kind of revelation. According to law enforcement insiders speaking to people, the musician whose car contained Celeste remains has not cooperated with the investigation. They say he has not agreed to be interviewed. They say he has not answered investigators' questions. They say he has not clarified the unexplained parts of the timeline. Nothing. Again, these are reported claims from sources. LAPD has not confirmed this publicly. But according to the insiders, people quoted, investigators are frustrated by the silence. And silence, especially when your vehicle is connected to a death, doesn't stop speculation. It intensifies it. No one is legally obligated to talk to police. That's the law. But cooperation is how innocent people distance themselves from terrible situations they didn't create. When cooperation doesn't happen, investigators turn to other tools, warrants, subpoenas, data pulls, witness interviews, cell tower dumps. And according to these reports, that is exactly what is happening now. All of this leads to a single, unavoidable conclusion. The investigation is accelerating, but the public is only seeing the smallest tip of it. Nobody's being labeled a murderer yet. Nobody is being named officially yet. But investigators are unmistakably preparing for the next phase. The next phase will depend on something we still do not have. The official cause and manner of death from the medical examiner. Not the leaks, not the reported interpretations, the formal ruling. And once that comes out, the case will enter collapse into ambiguity, or explode into arrests. One of the two is going to happen. I'm going to guess the latter. And based on what these insiders are reporting, investigators expect the latter as well. But let's not lose sight of the single most important person in the entire story, Celeste. A 14-year-old runaway. I'm not going to call her 15, because she wasn't. She was already dead by that 15th birthday. A child navigating instability, danger, vulnerability, and circumstances no child should ever navigate. And the absolute tragedy of this case is that her disappearance did not ring enough bells early enough. Runaways rarely get urgency. They rarely get the same response. And that gap, the one between when she disappeared and when she was found, may have been the window in which everything happened. That system failed Celeste long before the concealment efforts described in these reports ever took place. She should have been found. She should have been protected. She should have been in school, around peers, surrounded by adults who cared. She should not have become the center of a forensic investigation involving some of the darkest allegations imaginable. The forensic details being reported now, the freezing indicators, the dismemberment indicators, the spring timeline, they're horrifying. But they're also a reminder of how preventable some tragedies are. Not the crime itself, but the gap where intervention should have happened. Because if investigators' interpretations are correct, Celeste's story did not end with panic, it ended with planning. And that is the part that makes your blood boil. That's the part that should make every person listening ask, how does something like this happen? How does a child vanish, die, and then spend months hidden without anyone sounding the alarm loud enough? She was 14. And the answer is cruel in its simplicity. Because she was a runaway. Because runaway kids don't get Amber Alerts. They don't get helicopters. They don't get breaking news segments. Their cases don't get urgency. Their disappearances get labeled voluntary, as if making these choices at 13, 14 years old makes any logical sense. That's where the adults in the room need to stand up and go, yeah, it's a kid. Unfortunately, we're in a world now, too, where we're seeing other cases like the Epstein world, where people are trying to victim blame the 13, 14, 15, 16-year-olds. Well, what about their accountability in the choices they made? They're fucking children. And there's people effing the children. Every single one of these runaways deserves the same attention as one that was abducted. Their absence is shrugged off as, again, and predators, if that's what this situation turns out to involve, because it might, because there's adults involved in this case, and if they were harboring a minor, what the hell is that? Know exactly how to exploit that. And I'm not saying that that's what was going on. I have my suspicions that's not what was going on. But when you're a 20-some-year-old, and there was a lot of people surrounding David beyond David, and if there was, in fact, a 14-year-old Celeste Rivas Hernandez basically in their custody, and we don't know that, that ain't good either. That's a bit weird. That's a bit creepy. That does kind of start to inch your toe into predatory territory. How far did you wade into that water? Or were you just too stupid to realize, hey, this might put you in that sort of a situation of, you're harboring a minor. You didn't help get her back to her parents. You didn't notify authorities. You didn't go to someone going, this kid needs help. I am not the source of the help. Now we wait for the medical examiner. Now we wait for the digital analysis. Now we wait for investigators to decide which pieces of the puzzle they are ready to reveal and which they're keeping close for charging decisions. Now we wait to see if multiple people will be arrested, as these sources suggest investigators believe. Now we wait for the part that runaway kids almost never get. Justice. But regardless of what the next phase brings, the picture emerging from all these new reports is not one of confusion or uncertainty. It is one of direction. Investigators, according to sources, believe this was concealment. They believe the body was altered after death. They believe the vehicle was used in a disposal effort. They believe more than one person may have been involved, and they believe the individual tied to the vehicle has not helped them understand what happened. That's the allegations that they believe, according to multiple sources right now. Those are the allegations. No guilt is being declared here. No one is being accused of causing Celeste's death. But the reporting makes it clear investigators are no longer wandering through theories. They're building a case. And the details being reported show just how serious they believe that case is. We end with this. No matter what someone tried to freeze, hide, move, store, or throw away, truth doesn't stay buried forever. It doesn't stay frozen. It doesn't stay concealed. Eventually, truth thaws. And when it does, it has a way of pointing itself directly at the people who tried to bury it. This is that moment. The thaw. The shift. The turn into a chapter where truth stops whispering and starts yelling. Celeste deserves that. And based on what these law enforcement sources are now saying, allegedly, the people responsible for hiding her will not be able to hide themselves much longer. Happy holidays to them and everyone who wants justice in this case. Give me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. You will find us there, and then let us know your thoughts. And please do hit subscribe if you've not done so already. If you like our commentaries, the work and the reporting that we do here, we're trying to get to 100,000 by the end of the year subscribers. If you can be part of that, we would love that. So please do hit subscribe on YouTube, and please hit subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts as well. Until next time, my name is Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real
soon. Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.